mixing sports and a little bit of fun.
This is fun!
On your morning drive, this is Robbie and Rex Road. With Robbie Stanley and Joe Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. On Nashville's best sports talk, 102.5 and 106.3, The Game. And on The Game Nashville app.
Ladies and gentlemen,
it's showtime.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning. Talking some Titans, and to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com. PK, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, guys. How you doing?
Doing awesome. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. PK, the 53-man roster is out. 7 wide receivers for the Titans, 3 tight ends. Obviously, we know this can change very quickly in the NFL, but what was the biggest surprise, your biggest takeaway from the 53-man roster for the Titans?
Well, 20% rookies with 11 guys is a big number. So the entire draft class of 2, 4, 6, and then 5 undrafteds, 4 on defense speaks to the lack of depth on the roster, speaks to these guys being able to beat out some guys in front of them. You know, we saw Chance Campbell not make it, and I said, well, that's a good sign for Ben Neiman. And then it's actually Otis Reese that makes it, you know, and then we're watching an Anthony Kendall, Eric Gehrer battle, which Kendall wins, I think, on the strength of special teams. But you know, there's a big roster battle for the last cornerback spot, and it's really between 2 undrafted rookies. So we knew the back end of the roster wasn't particularly strong, and you know, it's between these last 5 spots are largely special teams guys who are going to really have to grow on the job. But I also think you've got to think of it more as a 69-man roster than a 53-man roster with guys we'll see back on the practice squad today who can be called up very easily. So, you know, they made some decisions. The 7th wide receiver they need right now, but the 4th tight end they can call up off the practice squad.
Yep. So, Nick Folk, yay, nay. Given the circumstances, I think it's a pretty decent outcome for them, but what do you think?
Well, they create, you know, they maybe fix the kicking problem, but they create a kickoff problem because the guy for the last 4 years has put the ball down at the 6-yard line on a regular basis. So we get to see how they cover kickoffs. They've not been great at things like that. But that's the position you put yourself in when you refuse really to address it with money and in big free agency. Look, I'm not saying that they need to go get Matt Gay for $5.6 million average over 4 years like the Colts did. But there were some options. Brandon McManus cost $2 million. Nick Folk's going to cost $2 million. And Brandon McManus, I think, can kick the ball off as well as kick field goals. So if you had addressed it in May, you know, we'll see how McManus versus Folk pans out. He also has a little bit of an extra point problem lately, which is a yips type thing. So they're certainly better off that they've been. I've got no problem with the 2025 7th round pick. But you know, wouldn't it be nice if there was just no issue to talk about with kicker?
Yes, it would. No question about that. Burke's back on the field in practice, PK, and Dylan Raidens activated. Obviously good news on the Burke's front. When Raidens is healthy and ready to go, where do you anticipate him playing? Where do you anticipate his role being with the Titans when that happens?
A backup guard. You know, unless one of the guards struggles, I think people allow themselves to get excited about him because he's a new option on the line that hasn't been very good. But he was a new op. He was an option on a line that wasn't very good last year, and they didn't use him at all until late and super desperate. They don't like Dylan Radins. I mean, maybe Haas, the new offensive line coach, likes him more, but that doesn't trump Mike Vrabel. And they simply haven't liked him. So I'll be surprised if he gets much of a chance. I mean, Hubbard's the right tackle. Brunskill, maybe this injury would create, an opportunity, but it's not going to be soon. Dylan Radins isn't going to be ready to play games. You know, he'll be ready to play snaps, but he wouldn't be ready to play games for a little while. I think that's the answer on him. In terms of Burks, I mean, Burks looked really good in that individual period. He made a leap and catch that all of us got some variety of pictures of and landed on that left knee with no concern whatsoever. Now, I know it's more of an injury that deals with lateral movement, but if he's doing that 12 days after the injury and had 13 more days until the game, I think he's in the lineup against New Orleans, maybe with some kind of snap count limit, but I'd feel pretty darn good about him.
Let's say Andre Dillard, gets hurt or just is disastrously bad, week one, week two, whatever, early in the season. What's the adjustment?
I mean, Jalen Duncan is technically the guy, but I think maybe it would be Murray, who you had cut at the Athletic, somewhat unreliable.
Glad you got that in.
Yeah, I thought that's why you were setting me up for it. But I think it would probably be Justin Murray. But it's a good question. And, I mean, you could ask him all up and down the roster, Joe. Depth is a huge issue for this team. And we've seen the Titans plug and play effectively a lot of places. Left tackle was not one of them. But by effectively, I don't just mean playing effectively at the position. I mean, like, continuing to win despite plugging and playing some guys who weren't particularly good. I have no reason to believe that Mike Vrabel couldn't continue to do the same. I mean, last year it changed when the quarterback went out and when the injuries became too many. Maybe tackle is among the positions that they look at in the waiver claim pool, though we always anticipate too much movement. You know, I'd set the over-under at 2.5, and I'd take probably the under.
Paul Karski from PaulKarski.com with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. PK, now that the preseason is behind us, what was your takeaway from Malik Willis, his performance, and the progress that he's made?
Yeah, Malik Willis very clearly made a lot of strides from last year. But if he had to start a game, I'd still be really concerned. I think most people would be really concerned. He could go on a stretch there where he'll make some nice plays for you, but I think ultimately he's going to make a big mistake or two that's really going to hurt you, which I think they know and then would dictate a super conservative game plan, which would annoy the hell out of fans. Because you just can't trust him to not make a bad throw at a bad moment still. And I mean, I'm not saying that's not the case with a lot of young backups around the league. I'm certain it is, but as much better as he is, he's still at a point where, they'd have to hand off, let him run and throw very basic stuff and hope that a defense and a running game could win a game with him at quarterback.
I don't know about you, PK, but I am eagerly anticipating the opener just in terms of what the offense will look like. We've seen a lot of different things, not much of it in the preseason games. We've seen some interesting things in practice. And I'm fascinated by, and I know it's week to week game plans and things like that, by what we'll see. What do you expect to see? How different will it be for fans? And just how would you describe what this offense is going to look like this year?
Yeah, I share your curiosity. I think the biggest question is, for me, the biggest question is how they use Spears outside of straight third down back. And I wonder if we're going to come away from the game saying, you know, I don't know. It all depends on how Henry's running, I guess. You know, if Henry's having early down, early game lack of success, do they do something with Spears? How much is Spears a part of a first and second down plan, either a primary plan or a secondary plan, if things aren't going well with Henry there? I'm very curious to see that. And I think it could be a little bit, I don't know. I mean, Henry's all about the team, but at the same time, you know, he's used to getting those carries. So I don't know that it'd be delicate to him. I think it'd be delicate to everybody else, maybe, or just be different. And that's the thing that has a chance to be largely different outside of the unpredictability, outside of throwing more on first down and all of those things that we want to see. And I'm really happy that it looks like Burks will be okay. Because even with Phillips out, we'll see it. You know, we're not seeing some big watered down version of it. If Burks and Phillips were both out, we'd come out of that game saying, yeah, we still haven't seen it. You know, we're going to see it against the Saints.
Yep, no question about that. PK, great stuff as always, man. Thanks for taking time to be with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Always a pleasure, boys. Have a good day.
You as well. Paul Koharski from PaulKoharski.com, our guest on Robbie and Rexroad. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans' reaction to the 53-man roster coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.